KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have sunny skies. We're at 71 degrees. We look forward to be mostly sunny today, a high around 90. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. The Creston Police Department reports three recent arrests, including the arrest Friday evening of a man on drug charges. Authorities say 34-year-old Michael Matherly of Creston was arrested for violation of a protection order, possession of drug paraphernalia, and possession of a controlled substance, methamphetamine. Matherly was being held in the Union County Jail on $1,600 bond. Late Friday morning, 51-year-old Misty Brown of Clearfield was arrested at the Union County Law Enforcement Center for failure to appear on an original charge of theft in the fifth degree. Brown was released from custody on $300 bond. And Sunday afternoon, 46-year-old Christine Selvey of Creston was arrested at her home for public intoxication, interference with official acts, harassment in the third degree, and three counts of simple assault. Selvey was being held in the Adams County Jail on $1,800 bond. Creston police said also on Friday evening, a man residing in the 800 block of North Sycamore Street reported that around 10 p.m. on Thursday and 7 a.m. Friday, someone stole a youth bicycle from his yard. The silver Tony Hawk BMX style bike was valued at $150. With the hope that schools will reopen this fall, as it appears they will, the Cass County Democratic Party is again sponsoring its annual school supply drive, and that begins today and will continue through August 14th. Coupled with a school supply drive will be a food drive. County Democratic Party Chair Sherry Telly says, "This is the ninth year the party has held the school supply drive, and we've always been overwhelmed by the support of Cass County for this important event." Telly says, "We want our children to start the year off right with new supplies." She said also they're sponsoring a food drive, realizing that there are far more food insecure people this year due to high unemployment and the pandemic. She says, "Well, we generally have a food drive at least once a year, but because this is a major election year, she decided to have both drives at the same time since they'll be busy during the fall." Telly stresses that I do want to say that both drives are nonpartisan events. We don't care if you're Democrat or Republican, have no party, or are not registered to vote. It's far more important than politics to meet the needs of our local children and families. The food pantries and schools will do the actual distribution of the donated items. Suggested items for the school drive include everything from pencils to spiral notebooks to book bags, and should also include non-traditional items such as facial tissue, hand sanitizer, plastic zip-top storage bags, and copy paper. Other non-perishable items include canned or boxed food items that are needed, cleaning supplies, personal hygiene items, zip-top storage bags, or other food storage containers are also welcome. There will be drop-off sites around the county, and Telly says we're also looking for a drop-off site in Wyota as of last report, so if anyone has any suggestions, you can give her a call at 712-243-4861. The drop-off sites include in Anita at the city clerk's office, the library, the Main Street Market, Rusty Razor, and Rolling Hills Bank. In Atlantic, they're taking school supplies only at the Fairway store. There's also a drop-off site at a private home at 10 East 13th Street, the YMCA, and Rolling Hills Bank. In Cumberland, sites include City Hall, the Houghton State Bank, and Griswold, Rolling Hills Bank, City Hall, Telephone Company, and Houghton State Bank. The library in Lewis, Lyman Cafe will serve as a drop-off point in Lyman. Outside the post office in Marnie, also in Messina, at the library, FNB Bank, and Economy Food Mart. The City of Atlantic's Planning and Zoning Commission is set to meet at 5:30 p.m. on Tuesday in the Council's chambers at City Hall. During their session, the Commission will consider three site plans for Nishna Valley Cycle for a new industrial storage building at 2500 East 7th, Cass County Health System for their proposed renovation and small addition, parking layout change, along with landscaping improvements to the hospital, and for TFF Incorporated out of Omaha, which holds the deed to 301 Elm Street. That is currently the site for the county's ambulance service. Midwest Air, which replaced Medevac at that facility, wants to build a new addition to the structure that includes living quarters for staff while they await calls. Shift ATL, a 501c3 nonprofit, is hosting their second Shift Network gathering opportunity for the community. It's coming Wednesday, July 15th from 5:30 until 6:30 p.m. The event will be held at the Camelin Edition at Sunnyside Park. Shift ATL will give an update on where the organization is, both financial and with their projects, and will be unveiling two exciting announcements. All current Shift Network members are encouraged to attend, as well as non-members. The organization hopes to grow its Shift Network membership before the end of next year, as to get more community-minded people involved in the economic development of Atlantic. The evening will kick off with Shift ATL giving an update on the state of their union, then answering any questions regarding the information presented. Those who would like to stick around from 6 to 6:30 are more than welcome to, while the group will facilitate conversation and brainstorming. Plan to practice social distancing while you're there. If you'd like to attend but want to stay in your vehicle instead, Shift ATL members can come to your car and deliver the update. Or if you're unable to attend but would like to join the Shift network or get the updates, you can email shiftatlantic@gmail.com. For more information on Shift ATL or the fundraiser, visit their Facebook page at facebook.com/ShiftATL, their website at shiftatl.org, or again by email at the address I mentioned. State health officials in Pennsylvania have added neighboring Delaware and three other states to the travel quarantine recommendation aimed at stemming the spread of COVID-19 in the Commonwealth. Officials say people who have traveled to Delaware, Iowa, Kansas, and Oklahoma are being asked to self-quarantine for 14 days upon their return to Pennsylvania. The state had earlier issued the recommendation for self-quarantine for people returning to the Commonwealth from 15 other states. Another 17 deaths attributed to the coronavirus were announced, bringing the total to 6,897. Authorities are investigating an eastern Iowa arrest after a video posted on social media showed a handcuffed black man having a seizure and apparently struggling to breathe after officers used pepper spray on him. Dubuque officials say an internal investigation will review the Friday night arrest of Yusuf Moment. Police say Moment resisted officers before pepper spray was used. Moment was treated at a local hospital and released after he was ticketed on suspicion of driving without a valid license and interfering with police. City manager Mike Van Milligan said in a statement that officials are aware of concerns about the incident and a thorough investigation will be conducted. Des Moines Black Lives Matter activists are proposing their own language for an executive order to restore felon voting rights as they continue to press Governor Kim Reynolds to act. Organizer Ellie Odole spoke at a rally this weekend.
After giving Reynolds nearly a month to produce an executive order, which she promised to sign, BLM is taking action. We will not accept such a lack of urgency and disregard for disenfranchised Iowans.
The group's proposal would restore voting rights to all Iowans with felony convictions after they get out of prison. In January of last year, Reynolds proposed restoring voting rights to those who complete their sentence, and last month, she promised to issue an executive order on felon voting rights for the November election. Reynolds has supported a legislative plan requiring payment of all victim restitution, but she hasn't publicly revealed what she'll include in her executive order. Representative Roz Smith, a Democrat from Waterloo, worked on the language the Black Lives Matter protesters had proposed. It would go further than the last time a governor restored voting rights in Iowa and restore voting rights to Iowans after they get out of prison instead of also requiring completion of probation and parole.
It gives the largest number of people restoration of the right to utilize their voice. That's what we believe in.
Every day, Smith tweets the number of days since Reynolds promised to issue the executive order and the number of days until the November 3rd election. Authorities are investigating a fatal shooting in Cedar Rapids. Police say gunshots were reported around 4 a.m. Sunday in southwest Cedar Rapids. Officers found a person suffering from a gunshot wound who later died at the scene. Police did not immediately release the victim's identity or any other details about the shooting, and no arrests have been announced that is to date. Elsewhere in the news, a young inventor from southeast Iowa finished first in his grade at the National Invention Convention. Ellis Kojo reports.
Charles Smith, a student at Eisenhower Elementary in Ottumwa, topped the first grade division for his invention that he calls HERB, which stands for Home Emergency Responder Beacon. Smith's invention is an exterior light that can be placed on a house or mailbox that creates a beacon for emergency workers. It can be activated by a wireless signal from a smoke detector, dispatcher, or lifeline. This is the second time Smith finished first nationally in his division. Last year, the youngster finished first in the kindergarten category. Smith also made a 2019 appearance on Good Morning America to showcase an invention he titled the Benj Beacon. Ellis Kojo, Ottumwa.
And finally, in state news, the number of women having abortions in Iowa climbed last year, a turnaround that critics blame on the state's controversial decision to withdraw from a federally funded family planning program. After decades of plummeting abortion numbers, the state last year recorded 3,566 abortions, at 8% more than the previous year. The Des Moines Register reports last year's increase came after the number of Iowa abortions dropped 56% from 2008 to 2018. That's a check of the news on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.